This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Baseball time now. Buster Olney joins us, ESPN, as he always does every week, to talk a little baseball with us. And Buster, we know your son is a huge Braves fan, too. A lot of our listeners are. And Braves fever is spreading throughout the South again like it's the early 90s again. And everyone is looking to the youth. And now, Buster, everyone who we listen to on our show is calling for the young prospect, Austin Riley. Go ahead and call him up. If Albies and Acuna can do this, surely this guy can do it at the big leagues, too.
Yeah, and he's made quite a transformation. You know, he last year the perception was that he was too heavy, and so during the course of the offseason he got in much better shape. I saw him in spring training, and the Braves people were really impressed with the work that he'd put in. They were really impressed with his physical condition. And the other day, I think Snitker said that he would have no hesitation to call him up to play third base. That said, I'm curious to see what they do. I think they're going through their various options. Trying Camargo, trying Ryan Flaherty, trying Jose Bautista, and I hear that call for Riley. But at the same time, I got to tell you, I think if you look ahead in the next 2 months, I don't know if there's necessarily a position where it's going to develop into more of a buyer's market than it is at third base. Like, there's going to be potentially an incredible opportunity there for the Braves, because it doesn't look like there are a lot of teams that are going to be in the market for a third baseman or a shortstop. And meanwhile, there's going to be a glut of those guys. Manny Machado of the Orioles, Josh Donaldson, Mike Moustakas. Look, I don't think the Braves would trade for Manny Machado. I want to make that very clear. Donaldson, some injury concerns. He's making a lot of money, and the Braves under Liberty don't necessarily have a lot of payroll flexibility. But the point is that somebody good is going to get bumped to the Braves, where they'll have a chance to get somebody. And I don't think it's going to be that expensive, just because there's so many guys out there. You guys remember last year when Jay Bruce, was tremendous in the first half, and the Mets were saying, "Well, we want something good for Jay Bruce," and other teams were like, "Nope. No, not interested." There weren't many teams looking for it, and they weren't willing to pay the price. And in the end, Jay Bruce was basically given away in the month of August. That sort of thing could happen for the Braves at third base.
The heart and soul of the Dodgers lineup is back at Justin Turner, and they've lost back-to-back games now to the Marlins. And Buster, the Dodgers and the Marlins have the exact same record at 16-26. How is that even possible?
It's incredible. There's six teams in baseball right now on pace to lose 100-plus games, and the Dodgers are one of them. I never would have imagined that. Look, Justin Turner's return is a big deal for the team. He's, as you say, he's the heart and soul of their lineup. He can hit good pitching. He's a guy who lends a lot of stability on a daily basis. So he has to help fuel the turnaround. They also have to get a lot better work out of their bullpen, which has been a tremendous disappointment so far. I think they're 20th out of 30 teams in ERA. But I think that one bit of hope for the Dodgers is when you look at the landscape of the National League West, it's not like it appears any of the other teams is poised for a runaway. The Diamondbacks just lost A.J. Pollock, their center fielder, for a couple months. Paul Goldschmidt is really struggling against high velocity. The Giants have been playing close to .500. So there's plenty of time, I think, for the Dodgers to get back into it. They just have to get some guys healthy, like Justin Turner.
Buster is presented each week by Ernest McCarty Ford, the place to get the best prices on cars and trucks, just off Highway 31 in Alabaster, always online at ErnestMcCarty.com. One team that is off to maybe a better-than-expected start is Seattle, but they get some of the worst news they could possibly get in Robinson Cano being out for 80 games. How does that affect them?
It probably, in the end, takes them out of contention in the American League West, because they don't have a lot of margin for error to begin with. The Astros, of course, at the top of their division. The Angels are a really good team. The Mariners, as you point out, they had been playing well, but Robinson is kind of like their Justin Turner. He's the stability on a daily basis, and now he's going to miss half the season. And even if they're in it down the stretch, they'll know that if they make the postseason, he won't be eligible for that. So it's a devastating blow to them, and I got to say, it was one of when that news came down, it was some of the least surprising news. because so many of his close friends were caught up in Biogenesis and wound up being suspended for that. And it felt like that Robinson Cano was like the trucker in a convoy of truckers who got away without the speeding ticket before.
He's an eight-time All-Star. I never really considered him as a Hall of Famer, and now you hear the debate, will this hurt his chances of getting in? Where were you on that debate?
Well, my feeling is that if the player, unless the player is put on the ban list like Pete Rose and they're put on the Hall of Fame ballot, I'm going to assess them based on the numbers. You know, I'll leave it to Major League Baseball, the Hall of Fame, to determine whether or not they're a member of good standing, which is why in the past I voted for Barry Bonds, I voted for Roger Clemens, but that's me. It's clear that there's a voting block of about 45% of the writers, and you need 75% of the vote to get in. 45% of the writers are essentially saying anybody who's linked to PEDs in any substantive way, they're not voting for, which is why Bonds isn't getting in. It's why Clemens isn't getting in. It's why McGuire hasn't gotten in. It's why Robinson Cano will never get in after the suspension.
Pressure is something I know it varies from person to person, team to team, and it's usually a pretty novel question coming from a guy who doesn't play professional sports. But is there an amount of pressure on this Cubs organization to win again and win with Madden? Because that team, not just that they've lost a couple to the Braves, they seem like they are really pressing at the plate.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I certainly was among the chorus of people who were suggesting after they won the World Series in 2016, look, with all these young position players, with Rizzo and Bryant and Addison Russell, Kyle Schwarber, Wilson Contreras, they could be a dynasty. They really haven't gained that much traction. It feels like a lot of their young hitters haven't necessarily improved that much, whether it's the pressure or whether it's the fact that they haven't been able to really develop much starting pitching within the organization. They haven't taken off like we expected, and I think your attachment to Madden is dead on. I'm going to be really curious to see what happens if they don't make the playoffs. What's going to happen to Joe? Because you guys have seen the trend in baseball. It's to go to the younger managers. Joe's, I think, 65 years old. He's got 1 year left on his contract. My gut would be that they would keep him for 2019, but the fact that we're even addressing the question is remarkable considering where they were 2 years ago.
Buster, presented by Ernest McCarty Ford. Who would be the hot young name out there, though, Buster? If and not just Joe Madden, but if anybody goes away from their manager, who is the hottest name out there?
Boy, I think that's a situation where it will develop as the summer goes along. I thought Hensley Mullins of the San Francisco Giants was someone who could potentially gain some traction. He's their bench coach now. He's very respected. He did great work during the WBC. The one problem for him is, and so much of what goes on in these pre-interview evaluations is perception. And Hensley, at a time when teams are really digging into analytics, he works for an organization with the Giants that's perceived as being very old school, and I think that works against them.
Baseball is such a numbers game, and I came across two interesting ones this morning. You tell me what's more surprising. Justin Verlander, only 8 career shutouts, or now Bartolo Colon is 14-1 at Safeco Field with a sub-2 ERA.
Wow.
Bartolo Colon. Every time he pitches, you just shake your head. It's amazing to think that at the beginning of his career, in his first game, he faced Eddie Murray, who was born in 1956, and he's also faced a hitter born in 1996. Okay, 40 years apart. That's how long his career is. But let's not run from the elephant in the room. He's gotten a PED bust as well, and so in the back of your mind, you're always wondering, okay, how did we get to this point that you have a 45-year-old pitcher thrown really well?
Well, Buster, just a question about the Major League Baseball draft, the amateur draft that'll come up in a few weeks. Auburn fans are expecting Casey Mize to go very high, maybe number one overall. Do we see trades? We see it in the NFL all the time with the number one overall pick. I don't remember that happening a lot in baseball. Am I wrong? Does that happen in baseball? Would the Tigers trade out of that position?
No. There are rules against it. You're not allowed to do it, which is why you haven't seen it. And it is interesting, and I don't dig into the draft stuff as much as Keith Law, my colleague, but in hearing Keith a few weeks ago, he said that while most teams considered Mize to be, without a doubt, the number one prospect, there continues to be a question about whether or not the Tigers are actually going to take them. In fact, there were a couple stories that I saw yesterday out of Detroit, where reporters who cover the Tigers are saying they might pick somebody else. So, and I'm fascinated by that question, because if in fact everyone sort of views him as the clear number one, why wouldn't the Tigers take him? We've seen that develop before in other drafts, where teams will pass on the number one talent because they're represented by Scott Boras or some other concern. And it'll be interesting to see what the Tigers do.
I think it's Big Ten country hating on SEC country. That's the way we're going to spin it down here. That's what that
I
is.
I understand the sentiment. He's a product of the SEC.
Where college football never ends.
Here's Coker with protection. Loads up. Looks long. Has O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. He's going in. Touchdown, Alabama.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.